In our reading, Paul and Silas, along with the others, have left behind Philippi. And they're going along the main road, going roughly southwest through Amphipolis and Apollonia, until they reached Thessalonica, about 70 miles away as the crow flies. And even though they had a rather rough time in Philippi, being thrown in jail and all that, they still went into the synagogue. And Paul, for 3 consecutive weeks, argued from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. But notice what Paul is doing, Christians. Paul is not just simply standing in the synagogue making claims, as if he really felt like this was true, and that's the reason that you should accept it as true. Nor is he arguing from some kind of personal experience which he had and saying that that's why you should believe it. Paul doesn't base anything of what he says on who he is or on his own feelings. Rather, Paul goes to the scriptures, and he carefully points out how they pointed towards what was to come. And he shows them from the scriptures themselves how Jesus is the fulfillment. Paul bases everything that he says to them on the word of God. And for that reason alone, they should accept it as the truth. But there's 2 very different reactions to this in our reading. There are some who do believe in Thessalonica. Jason is one of them. But most do not. They react instead out of jealousy, as Luke tells us, and they form a mob and attack them. So that stirring up this riot, they go to the house of Jason and they drag him out and accuse him of all kinds of things. Just like Paul was treated at Philippi. So right from the start, this little church in Thessalonica was attacked and persecuted by those who refused to hear. And the very same group follows Paul out of the city, and they stir up problems in Berea as well. But the reason for their rejection was not because they somehow disagreed with Paul's arguments, as if they thought that his reasons were flawed, or that he was being biased, or that he was leaving out some important information. Really, there's no rational reason for their rejection at all. Rather, they were reacting entirely on an emotional level. They felt that they already knew the truth. And because they felt they knew the truth, there was no need to listen to what Paul said. They simply shut him out and attacked him for daring to say anything at all. But in Berea, Paul and Silas meet a very different reaction. We hear in verse 11 of our reading, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So instead of simply reacting against the word, those in Berea considered these things carefully. And they didn't just accept it because Paul had said it, nor did they simply reject it because they didn't like what they heard. Rather, they compared everything with the scriptures. They wanted to see if what Paul was saying was the same thing as what the scriptures said. And if it was the same thing, then they accepted it as the truth. And because they approached these things in this way, Christians, that's why so many more of them in Berea believed. They saw that what Paul was saying was the same thing as what the scriptures said. And for that reason, they accepted it as the truth. So how then do we react whenever we hear God's word? Do we react like those in Thessalonica or like those in Berea? To put it a little bit differently, Do we simply react to the word without giving it a whole lot of thought? Or do we stop and carefully consider what it has to say? Now, what do I mean by reacting? Well, that would be responding passively to what God says, such as rejecting what it says simply because we don't like it. It grates against our feelings, it goes against our opinions, and therefore, we don't want to listen. How do we react, for example, Christians, about what the Bible says about the role of women? Or how do we react when it says that faith in Jesus is the only way to heaven? Do we stop and consider these things? Do we examine them carefully, or do we simply stop listening? Because refusing to listen in this way is not something that only unbelievers do. We as Christians can also be tempted to say, I don't like what this says, and therefore, it must not be true. Or we might even accept what the Bible says without giving it a whole lot of thought, saying that, sure, it's true, because Pastor said it was true. Or maybe we say that it's true, but we don't reflect on it all that much, so that we forget about it shortly after. Maybe even forgetting about it before we walk out the door. This kind of passive, often emotional approach to God's word is dangerous, Christians. Because when we don't engage with the word, it leaves us vulnerable to the thoughts of the world. When we don't stop to carefully consider these things and to study what it is that God says, then our thoughts are so quickly shaped by the world around us, leading us to say things like, I am a Christian, even as I reject things that the Bible says. If we base the truth on how we feel and not on how we think, God's word will not dwell in us, and we will be no different from those around us in the world. Rather, God calls us Christians to be like the Bereans, to examine these things to see if they are so, to ask not how do I feel about this, but rather to ask, is this what God actually says? To compare everything that we hear to the Bible, and to accept it if it goes with it, but to reject it if it goes against it. It means accepting these things, Christians, even if I don't like it at first, because I come to see that it is from God. Being active like this keeps us in the Word, so that we are not carried off by the first idea that comes along. It's like having a solid anchor to hold on to, even when the waves of this world are constantly crashing around us. But maybe you want to say, well, that's not very easy, Pastor. What you're saying is kind of difficult. And you would be right. Being active is always much more difficult than simply being passive. It's way easier to just react to things than it is to think. But God has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to change us from within so that our minds become like the mind of Christ. The Spirit shapes us to become like Him. And we have the promise that the Spirit will lead us into all the truth, and God's word will never return empty. When we spend time in the Word, Christians, we will abide in Christ, and Christ will abide in us. So no, it's not easy, but it's worth it, because God is worth every trouble. And the more time that we spend in His Word, the easier it will become. Until the day when we will finally be perfectly like him in all things, to the glory of his holy name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.